You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Welcome to Scam Wow. I'm your host, Caitlin Brodnick. I love you and I love scams. Welcome to the second part of the Never Been Kissed / Never Been Convicted episode. Again, this was so much fun to do. Sarah, Grace, and I have the most amazing time. I cannot wait for you guys to hear it. We really get into the meat of the story and the scam of the story in the second episode. The first one, we talk about just the insanity of everything, and now we're talking about the full scams. And there's multiple layers of scams, multiple people to blame, and I'm just so excited to share it with you. Thank you again, Sarah. You're incredible, and I hope you guys enjoy.
Okay, so there, now we're at prom.
Yes.
She came up with the idea of star-crossed lovers, which is why it would be really great if she was like a romance novelist, but she's not. She's just a sad person. And everyone's dressed up as famous couples, and all of the mean girls go as Barbie, and the dorky people dress as the double helix, and some people are like Mary and Joseph in the manger.
Yeah, Adam and Eve. I clocked an Adam.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's like very goofy. But yeah, you were going to say the teacher during prom.
So, okay, so this is the culminating moment, of course. We have the whole Chicago Sun-Times office is watching on the camera. She needs to like get her story on the teacher.
That weird creepy van is right outside
the weird creepy
the
van.
The prom location.
Has never left.
He's having a date. They're pouring wine.
He lives in the van. He has a date. Nothing is weird about this.
He's living his best life.
But I am trying to track Michael Vartan's mind through this whole scene because, okay, so he is a teacher. He has a crush on his student. He doesn't want to grow up and move to New York. We find out when he's slow dancing with his student. Nothing weird about that. Like, truly, if you saw a teacher
like, they have a spotlight on them and it is a slow dance.
I would have been jealous, but then I would have shit-talked that girl for the rest of her life.
Also, any other teacher would have been like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, the other teachers.
I would have punched him in the face.
What?
Okay. Imagine if one of your coworkers was like, had his hand on her lower back.
So weird.
Like, alcoholic David Arquette looks real, real messy.
So there gross. Was definitely another, like, because you're my teacher moment in this speech as well. But okay, so you're Michael Vartan. You broke up. We find out that you break up with your New York City of age girlfriend.
Because he's not going to grow up.
Because he won't grow up. You reveal that to the student while you're slow dancing in the center of the room. You reveal that to the student. Mm-hmm. In your mind, what is the teacher hoping is happening? In my mind, the best thing that could happen for him is to find out that she's not 17, to find out she's 25. to me, I think that would be, at this point, he set himself up for prison. So I think that like the best thing that could happen is to find out she's 25. We cut to the moment where she decides to reveal herself. She throws her crown on the ground and she says, I'm not 17, I'm 25 years old. He looks crestfallen. He looks so upset that he walks outside.
He's destroyed.
To sit in the garden. Why is he so upset, Caitlin?
He wanted a virgin. He wanted a virgin. I mean, she is. But obviously, she's never had sex with anyone. But it would have been wonderful if he was like...
It doesn't make sense.
No. He should have been like, thank God, like I broke up with her in hopes that you had been lying, you know, and I was dating this disturbed person.
Yeah. And then he finds out like, you know, 2 minutes later that she was doing a story on him, and then he makes it all about that. Like, I can't look at you the same way.
No, but he was
already disgusted.
He was disgusted. She was a number of years older than she said she was.
He didn't even hear her full speech because he felt sad and left the room.
He didn't care that there was a can of cat food on a bunch of other teenagers that people were bullying like crazy.
His other students.
That Lily Sobieski's in a onesie, like looking so uncomfortable.
When that onesie, like when she took off the double helix and was wearing that blue like unitard, I was really shook as a 13-year-old.
Me too. I was like, where's her body? It's gone.
Yeah. Like, I was like, does she have any body parts?
I was like, it's just a square. It's like a piece of paper. It was very disturbing.
Like, I was like, if I was wearing that, it would just be so much lumpier.
So many curves. So many soft movements. And it would be flowing body. Yeah, it was upsetting.
So I don't get that. Caitlin, I really don't get it.
He's a pedophile. That's what it is. He is a pedophile. And also, she catched a predator him this whole time. Like, you have a news station watching.
Yeah.
This is to catch a predator. Like, I don't know why anyone at the office, Octavia Spencer, she was so smart, why anyone said, the story is this guy's down to fuck a 17-year-old. Like, but nobody was interested in that. They were interested in their unrequited love because it's illegal.
Yeah. Well, I think the John C. Reilly character did want to catch a predator him.
Oh, I hope he did. I wanted someone to.
I think he was like, this is going to be the story. We're going to break that. Like,
oh, right. He said that to her. And she's like, I can't do that to him.
Exactly.
I can't put this clear predator in trouble.
Exactly. So I'm just like, and basically they did catch a predator. Like, I feel like he was like a second away on the dance floor before the dog food thing happened of being like, and I broke up with her because I want
to put my penis
to like
you.
Have sex with you at my house tonight.
Yes.
And then they were so close to catching a predator.
And then he was like, how could you? And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Also, I remember as a child being like, you know what? She lied. You shouldn't lie.
And he's upset because she lied, you know?
She lied, you know, and lying is bad. And honestly, like, if a 30-something wants to fuck a 17-year-old, just don't lie. Start with not lying.
And you know, this is actually how it works on To Catch a Predator. When they catfish the predator and they come to the hotel, the predator always goes, I can't believe you lied. That's always how it happens.
Really?
I actually have no idea.
I can't watch it. I get so freaked out. I'm like, I hate all these people. Oh my God. And so her cover's blown. The scam for the story that she's going to give some undercover shit doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
It's front page that she, isn't it first a front page that comes out that like this woman's been lying?
So the sister paper scoops that she's been lying. They're all like, you fucked us. We're all fired. And then she's like, we are not fired. Iconic monologue. I am going to write an incredible story. Yes. You will have your story. And then her story is just like what I feel is like a college entrance level essay
about why you should get into the school.
Like, I've never kissed anyone. This is my story.
And the story is uniting the world. It's uniting the Chicago. World. It's bringing everyone to tears. She says, I'm going to put 5 minutes on the clock at a professional football stadium. I'll stand on the mound.
Wait, time out. A professional football stadium.
I mean, baseball.
A high school baseball game.
Oh, it was high school? I thought it was
like her high school.
Yeah, it was. I was was like, damn, she's fancy. No, it was a high school game.
Yeah, because it was a double whammy when she had to get her brother's job back.
Right. So her brother also was found out, which she was really mad that she blew his cover before he could bone
really
that
mad.
Child. And
really mad.
He also was like, I lost my chance to like lie to all these people for even more years. And so she makes right with him and they hire this creepy pedophile liar drunk man as an assistant coach to be with their children.
The greasiest drunk man.
The scariest pantsless man. Hairy ball sack of a man.
Could you just imagine like being the principal of the school? One minute this guy is found pantsless at the prom trying to fuck a 16-year-old and then you're like, you know what?
Bristled.
Be the baseball coach, actually.
You know what? Let's turn this around. Because Drew Barrymore got media coverage, because, you know, media coverage solves problems.
Yeah. Schools, they want media coverage.
That's the thing. Test scores, media coverage, key.
They love
that's it. Key. And that's a really good lesson to learn if you're a teenager and you want to be a principal. Just know that, like, as long as you have media coverage, that's a great lesson.
Oh, yeah. If you have connects in the media, be a principal. I mean, 100. But Caitlin, I think now we're moving to the meta scam of this whole thing. And I think this is the scam of the people who made the movie on us, the audience.
Okay.
For some reason, even though we saw a pedophile trying to have sex with a 17-year-old.
Two different groups of pedophiles. We have David Arquette. Three, because she is against the 17-year-old. She wants to bone that popular boy. Then her teacher wants to bone her. And then David Arquette is boning the 16-year-old. Okay.
There's three moments of predators. Three predators that need to be caught. Drew Barrymore, David Arquette, and Michael Vartan.
They all need to be caught.
There's nothing that I, the viewer, want more than for Michael Vartan to show up at the baseball game and for him to kiss Drew Barrymore. I want to see both those predators have a happy ending more than anything in my life. And that's the true, I think, scam.
It's of true.
Film.
And she puts 5 minutes on the clock and people are standing there at the outdoors cheering for 5 minutes straight. No one sits down. No one gets a Coke. Ellen and I were like, why didn't they just say at 7 p.m.? But she's like, I'm going to put a timer on.
Yes.
So you're just sitting there cheering for 5 minutes straight for this liar who should be fired.
Oh my God, this liar who should be leaving town.
Yes, she needs to get some plastic surgery.
Like,
and also she needs to learn how to be a con artist. Like they picked the worst. They should have picked Molly Shannon. Molly Shannon could have she looked like she was like nice and shifty and shady and she was wheeling and dealing and boning everyone. Like she would have pulled something off. But
I mean,
this woman really tanked it. And yes, and at the end they kiss and you're like, thank God.
Thank God they're kissing. We're so happy for them. We can't wait for them to start their lives together as two brothers.
before that magic, the sad part is that he is packing his bags to move, which means he's having to grow up. And that's supposed to be the worst thing happening to him. The worst thing in his life is that he has to be an adult.
Unless the reason he's moving is because the neighborhood watch has identified his home as the home of a predator.
Well, either or.
Which is,
but in his mind, in the movie's mind, it's like, oh God, now this guy's gotta move. You know, that's really the sad thing.
Yeah.
Not that like a bunch of other teenagers' lives are ruined and they're gonna be fucked up the second they get into college.
And, oh my God.
Yeah, and they kiss and they're in love. And
we love it. If he hadn't showed up at the baseball game, I would have been so sad.
And so sad as a child where it's like, you know what, if this underage couple can't make it work, what chance is there for me? A 15-year-old.
Yeah. And also truly like not even just I'm happy for it, like I'm so like turned on by it actually. Like the way he doesn't even like walk up to her and go, I'm here for the kiss. Like the way he just like barrels down the stairs.
He runs through the stadium. Alan's like, anyone could just start running through the stadium. Like any like hot dog guy could be like, let's do it, Drew. Like you look cute. Like no one even knows that's the guy. Just, I guess the people in the high school who had been clocking this the whole time, you know, but it seemed like a crowd of like strangers as well, because they said like Chicago's in love with this story. You've touched their hearts.
Right.
You know, they do have, they are on your side, the creeper. So he comes in
there. He could have been anyone.
He's barreling down this stadium and then kisses her right away and everybody cheers. And I'll say she looks the best she's ever looked. at that moment.
She looks great. Except the part where they cut to, you know, when she drops the microphone and you see her shoes. No.
Well, the microphone dropped and Al and I were like, whoa, that's so loud. That's so upsetting. I can only focus on that.
Also, like, you broke that microphone. Like,
so expensive.
Don't drop a microphone. Like,
it's so expensive. Oh my God,
it's so expensive. You're in so much trouble. But they show her. I just wanted to be catty that, like, I hate the shoes she's wearing.
I'm sure I would hate them too. Also, to be catty, she had a lot of chin acne that I struggle with. And I was like, why is anybody covering that up? Why aren't we doing last look? Why aren't we checking? And it's hormonal acne. Why isn't somebody in there with, like, a swab? See, here's mine. And I'm like, why aren't we just solving that? Also, it made me appreciate Botox because the people who play teenagers now are Botox. And Botox really just blows me away.
Yeah.
Really, that's the scam, that we didn't have Botox for so long.
I think, like, that's definitely for me the end of Never Been Kissed scams. And then later I do want to talk to you about Botox.
I do too. Okay, so Never Been Kissed is the worst idea for a scam, the worst scammer to follow that out, the most amount of pratfalls, the best place if you're into pedophilia, and the best place if you want a dysfunctional high school that hopes its children are, like, in harm's way at all times.
And I say we do not applaud the written scam of this movie, but we do applaud the meta scam of the producers, in which they made us root for sexual predators with our whole hearts.
It worked. And as a kid, I was like, wow. Now, I also, as a child, though, was looking at Drew Barrymore like, I don't think this is a nice... She didn't look flattered in any time. Like, there was even, like, flashbacks and stuff. Like, she was really playing goofy. And I remember I didn't like it because I didn't think she looked like, I wanted a makeover where she looked spectacular and felt spectacular. And her makeover sequences just made her look more stupid, like drag queen, you know.
But do you think, like, when she became popular and her hair sort of relaxed a bit and she's shopping at the mall with them, I thought she looked really good there.
In jeans. Yeah. In jeans and that, like, peasant top. That was the one outfit I liked. And then I liked her in that pink off shoulder thing. But she did look like a secretary. It was at the party where he asked her to,
That was really cute.
And then at the end.
She did not look good at the prom, I have to say.
No, that was a Never Been Kissed outfit.
I didn't like that.
Terrible.
I didn't like that outfit.
It was so bad.
And her Ever After costume. I didn't love it. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I was such a little catty teenager. I was always like, if I didn't think that the women, like, were looking good enough to be with the leading men, I was always like, no. I was like, absolutely not.
Kids are so brutal. We learned it from Disney. We're like, if they don't match up and their eyes aren't 15 times bigger than the normal eye size, I don't believe it.
Like, Rachel Lee Cook and She's All That, being with Freddie Prinze Jr. was a no for me back then. I was just like, no, even after her makeover, no. Like, not Freddie Prinze Jr., maybe handsomest person I ever saw back then. So I was kind of like, I don't think so.
I really liked the would-be rapist, the blonde guy in it, who was, I thought he was so attractive. And I was like,
Paul Walker, right?
Paul Walker almost, like,
loved him, the would-be rapist.
Sir, and I was like, what a beauty. If only he chose me.
I really hate to say this, but when I was watching the movie as a 13-year-old, I was like, I would love
him. Yeah, he was so hot. I was like, let's all
bang. That's how I felt.
No, Paul Walker's gorgeous.
But I just want to, you know, say on the reverse of that, when I saw the movie Selena, I thought J-Lo was, like, way too good looking for the guy who played her husband. And I was truly like, so just to say, I go both ways with that. I was absolutely like, they can't get married.
Yeah.
He sucks. J-Lo is, like, the hottest, most beautiful, best dancer, best singer.
Best body.
So cute.
Crushing it. Incredible.
Somehow sexy and cute. Like,
I love it.
I go both ways with that.
That was Selena. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. I do go both ways as well. And I was into Paul Walker. So, but also the scam too of this time was that, Alan, he was, like, looking up the facts for me because I'm not going to do that. It made, like, 80 something million dollars. Like, it was a huge success.
Yeah. I mean,
people loved it.
I felt like that's just, like, Gary Marshall directed it too, right?
No, he was in it. So I thought he directed it. No, it was, I'll look it up.
Who directed it?
Raja Gosnell.
Wait, what? Yeah. I definitely thought this was a Gary Marshall movie.
Me too. And he wasn't even a producer.
Wow. I'm really shocked.
Me too. And Gary Marshall seemed like he was making up a bunch of his lines. He just kept being like, I got wieners. I got wieners. I got wieners. Like, every chance he had.
He was being allowed to improvise. And I also think you were right that I think the guy who played her assistant was being allowed to improvise.
He cracked me up.
I think he's in, have you seen That Thing You Do?
Yes. Is he in that?
I think he plays their like first fan of the
band.
He's
wonderful.
I have the feeling of him always that people were just like, do whatever you want.
I know. And and that is fun though. And except when you're auditioning, you know, and they make you do whatever you want. And then you're with some musical theater people, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
This guy was lucky because he was always improvising and auditioning alone. I can
tell. Alone. See, he was on his phone the whole time. That's a tough role. Sit here, make jokes on your phone. Drew Barrymore is going to come in constantly changing who she is. You don't know what the character is.
Oh my God, you know the actor was just spinning out, just trying to think of jokes all day long. Being out. Like, oh my God, any moment they're going to say, come up with a new joke to say on the phone. All right, and...
These are the notes I took during the show.
Okay.
Josie Grossi, which apparently was what they teased her with in high school, and her brother, but her brother came up with the name, so, you know, he coined it. I said, she looks like a ghost crackhead. Okay. She's horrible. Sam, hot teacher.
Yeah.
Then I wrote... Hair looks worse, so at some point it's supposed to look better.
And it looks worse.
Why didn't she off? Oh my God. She's in the car with Lily Sobieski and a child. Lily is driving.
And a child.
Lily is driving. Why didn't Drew Barrymore offer to drive? She's 25. Lily Sobieski just got her license at 16. Why
isn't
Drew Barrymore driving the car? They're underage.
That's actually a great question. Maybe Lily's character wanted to practice because she just got her license.
Maybe. I really want to know. And then we didn't even talk about this. When she really loosened up and made a lot of friends was when she had a THC cake called the ganja cake that was laced with drugs. And it really was a pro-drug moment because that's when everyone liked her. That's when she became friends.
But then it didn't really even work though, because then she went to school the next day and she put loser on her forehead accidentally and she sort of undid the good work.
For a moment it was like, God, don't you wish you could always be on drugs?
It was pro drugs for sure.
It was really pro drugs. Then there was a moment where one of the bitchy girls looks at a dead skeleton figure and says, that's it for prom. I'm just doing water and X-lax.
Caitlin, I'm so glad you brought that up. I remember the line, that's it. It's just water and X-lax till prom. But I totally forgot she's looking at a skeleton.
Yes, in a science class. And then Dave Arquette comes up and goes, you know, Josie's dad invented X-lax and she's so rich and she has all the X-lax she needs, basically. Like, she can shoot her brains out for the rest of her life and be rich. It was the most insane.
Basically, like, X-lax is to them as Botox is maybe to us. Let's talk about it later.
Okay. And then I wrote bribes just work. And I think that's how, like, everybody succeeded. Like, David Arquette succeeds. Like, everybody does well with bribes. But also, all these children are, like, ruined forever. You know?
Everyone who went to that high school
is so fucked. Okay, so that was... Did you like the movie, watching it again?
You know what? I did, just because I was on memory lane and I was like, all my neural pathways that used to buzz from the different moments of it were still buzzing. Like, I remember specifically there's a moment where Gary Marshall like misunderstands what her name is in like an opening scene. And he goes, you, who are you? And she goes, Josie. And he goes, Jose.
Yes.
Like we used to laugh so hard at that. So it's, you know, it's always fun to see anything you remember, like, and have it be buzzing back.
As a kid laughing.
But I have to say it really was like,
it was horrible.
And I felt like I was really trying to watch it from Michael Vartan's perspective after I started to be like, this is so strange. And I was really disturbed at the prom when he was upset when she said she's 25. Because I just felt like that's the opposite of what his reaction should be.
He should be so relieved.
And I felt like I was so troubled. And Caitlin, I was sort of sitting there after that happened, like watching the rest of the movie kind of with this expression on my face. And then when he comes down the stairs at the baseball game.
Thrilled. Joy Chen.
So I have to truly just honestly take, I'd say my reaction to the movie is that I have to take a long, hard look at myself today.
Alex tried to talk to me during it in the beginning. I was like, I'm trying to focus. He's like, really? I was like, I need to focus for Scam Wow. He's like, I thought it was a joke. I was like, it is a joke, but I need to be prepared. Then at the end, he comes in and I was like, God damn it. Like, I was so angry. I was so angry at all of this.
So you were mad watching.
Well, I was mad the whole time. I was mad that she was shitty at being a scammer because I could have done it so much better, bitch. I was so mad that the popular guy was like, I wanted the popular guy to have like some cojones. Like I wanted him to like be, have his own thing. Like I wanted him to be the reporter. I wanted him to like not actually like her and be lying too. Like I was so mad that he was such like a wet fish. I was so mad that there wasn't more Jessica Alba because she was actually a child. I just kept getting,
she was incredible,
angry at this movie. And then, I mean, seeing him kiss her, I was like, whew, thank God. It was one of those things like where you see someone slice into a cake that's not cake and you're like, oh wow. Like it's one of those moments where you're like, okay, I feel like this had to happen. I feel it was justified. All roads pointed to the gratification of it. And then as they kept kissing, I was like, I hate you all. And I was really upset. Really, when I saw David Arquette turn around at the very end and he had assistant coach, I was like, that is the most dangerous thing you could do. That is the most dangerous ending you could ever do. And it's been in the newspaper twice. She's talked about how she was like exposed and then she wrote a whole thing about it, and her brother did it. So parents are reading the newspaper like, sign this guy up. I can't wait for him to spend 15 weeks with my kids on and off buses.
No. Also like, yeah. And what if you're the parents of the gymnast 16-year-old that he went to prom with? And you're like, we're letting my daughter's predator coach the baseball team.
And she's still in high school. I mean, we don't know her trajectory.
She was not a senior.
No, she was only 16. And she told everyone she was a gymnast right away. But that is a wary thing. Like, if I have a child and she's very talkative, I'm like, you can't tell people you're very flexible. You know, like, that can't be, like, your intro. You can't be like, hi, my name's Betsy. Look at my hips. You can get my vagina any direction you want. I'm so easy to reach it. Like, I would just be... She needed a little bit of parenting. And I don't want to blame it on the parents, but there is some, like, editing where, like, the eagerness that she was to just, like, fly at all.
Oh,
starfish.
Caitlin, unrelated to like scams from a parent's perspective, which character in the movie had the worst parents?
Oh gosh. I mean, definitely Josie's parents were god awful because the mom just lets her walk out the door, get hit with eggs for prom, and is like enjoying letting the brother, clearly looking not young at all, just like fuck in the house. Her parents sucked. And her parents gave her no help. And at no other point in their lives were they like also, checking on them as adults.
When they're allowed to have like that kegger at the parents'
house.
Where are they?
These parents don't like their kids. Like they don't like Josie.
Oh yeah. Even though they preserved her room.
They preserved her room to be like, what a dick. What a dork. Everybody come look. And then they laugh at her and point out all of her dolls. I mean, if I was by myself doing Need a Point with a couple of turtles, I hope my parents would say, are you okay? If they don't hear from me for months and I show up with white lipstick looking like a crackhead from a sketch video, I would hope my parents would text anyone and say, like, is this girl functioning? Did she stop taking Prozac? Where are we?
Okay, easy. So it was an easy question. Josie and Rob have the worst parents, for sure.
Gymnast.
And then second place gymnast parents.
Gymnast is pretty bad. Who else?
Don't lead with your flexibility. Yeah.
Also, I want to say James Franco, I wanted more lines for him. So he needed more support from his parents.
Oh my God, he was being so funny.
And cute.
Because he wasn't just being like a caricature. He was doing something
so
weird.
So cute.
Like he was truly, every time I cut to him, he was doing something weird.
Oh my God. I used to get in trouble in Maud because you're not, you know, when you're like the background or like your added filler for the scene, I would just get bored. So I'd start doing stuff. And they're like, Caitlin, you are the worst extra. Like I really am the worst extra.
Yeah.
They're like, and it's not nice. Like somebody wrote a sketch and like the audience is trying to follow the sketch, but I'm in the back. Like if you put me in a coffee shop, I'm dealing with my coffee shop. It's not hot enough. Okay. Where's the tea? Where's the sugar? Like I have a full scene in the background. And that's what James Franco was doing. And so I wish he had more self-confidence and we saw more of him.
Yeah, I agree. And that's not his parents' fault. That's again, like a production problem.
It is. And but I didn't like the lead guy too. He was really weird.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, what about John Varvas? What's his name? The teacher. His parents.
Oh, yeah. Michael
put him in Arrested Development forever. Yeah. His parents really fucked him up. They were probably all friends too. I bet Drew Barrymore's parents and Michael Vartan's parents all like got cocktails.
Oh,
they did a bunch of cruises together. ignored their kids.
They were like, what's your son doing? And they're like, he teaches English. He sleeps with his kids. He sleeps with his students. And then Drew Barrymore's parents are like, ours has a turtle and works for the sun time.
The 60s were wild, man. Remember? Ours has a van following her around her whole life. It's crazy.
She gets in and out of a van to go to work.
And our son works at the Tiki Post and is just pantsless. It was, so much of it made me angry, but it was also just so fun to watch because I was like, we are going to rip into this bonkers movie. And so many stars were in it.
So it's so star-studded. It's crazy.
And I was like, Sarah Grace, that could be us. We could be the silent person in the background doing way too much, mime work. And who knows? Then one day we could be, maybe, cast in something else.
Exactly. Maybe we could be casting something where we're doing too much, and then maybe we'll be casting something else.
Maybe we'll get cast twice. So that's my dream.
It's actually just my dream to be cast twice.
Oh my God. I got a part where they cut my part. They told me it was cut, and they said, we want you to come back for a tiny part. I said, I'll do anything. I just want to be in anything. Then they are like, they put me in a part. The part that's in is only when this person has a flashback. So like, maybe there'll be more flashbacks next season. Like, that's like, you never know.
I love that they said that, though. They want everyone to feel good.
Be like, hey, if she ever gets a flashback, you're there. I'm like, oh.
I know. I love that they say
please.
That.
And, as to my knowledge, there have been zero flashbacks in the whole season. So we're hoping it gets renewed so I can get into a flashback.
I love that.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Okay, before we end this, we're talking about Botox real quick. Everybody wants to know, what are you thinking?
Okay, so I don't know a lot about it, but I felt like I had friends who were sort of talking about, like, they were like, if you ever want to do it, you should actually be doing it a little bit earlier than you think you need to, because preemptive Botox or whatever. But when they were saying this, I was like, do you know what? I've never looked at my face and been troubled by the lines or anything. So I'm not going to start doing something when I'm not troubled by anything, mm-hmm. but I don't know if it was because it was like after this conversation, mm-hmm. but after that I started, tell me if you know what Botox is for. Yeah. What I do have that's is not what like, it's for. I always have sort of puffy under eye yeah. stuff. That's not what it's for. What about these ones? What about lines that are by the side of your nose, above your lip?
Yes. Okay. So the lines that go from your nose to your cheeks, if you do anything to that, I really believe it makes you look so much older.
Old.
So what people do is they put like a filler there and I think immediately it makes you look old. And under your eyes, you can put like an ice cube or you can just like have less salty food. Like sometimes I'll just like yeah. drink extra water and like that works yeah. or like a silk pillow.
I need to be writing this down. A silk pillowcase
works. Mm-hmm. They're expensive though. So that's why I haven't got one. I have like this like line. I'll show you, even though I have like a filter on my Zoom. I have all yeah. this.
Yeah. I mean, I have it too when I do
that. No, but yours is good. Yours is like soft.
What? It's the same. It's not soft.
No, mine has like, look at millions. Mine has millions.
It is, but what about these ones?
But that is muscular. It doesn't look like wrinkly. It looks like you're an expression, you know? Yeah, I love it.
What about this?
But here's what I'm worried about. I saw a friend who I think has it done. And she has a little dome here. Like it's like that Botox dome where like right above she had it done here. And like this all is flat. And then around it all has wrinkles. Real creepy.
I mean, that's not good.
Here's my thought, Sarah. If I do it, will my son think I'm not? I don't think he's as funny as he is or interesting. Cause like think of the expression we give kids. We're like, oh, that's so funny. But if I was just like, oh, that's so funny.
Does it freeze us that much? You think it'll freeze your face that much that you can't communicate how funny he is to him?
That's the number one thing. He needs to be constantly validated how funny he is, whether I get cast or not, you know?
Well, but maybe it'll make you look more stern when you tell him not to scratch himself.
That's true.
Lou, no.
No.
Don't touch yourself.
Well, it's like, it's so funny because I had a friend who got it and I kept like talking to her being like, I feel like we're not connecting. And then she told me she had Botox and I was like, maybe it's because like, wow. She's not like her eyes aren't open. She's not feeling it. Now also like, maybe she's just, well, we weren't connecting, but I was like, was it? I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, this was an important conversation for me to find out that it doesn't affect the bags under your eyes or any puffiness. No,
all the places you're talking about doesn't happen. There's something called a hyaluronic acid, like thread. That you can put on that kind of builds collagen. It's stupid. It's expensive. And I want to do it all, but I have to wait till I create my own company of like a small that makes no money and, you know, move on from there. If I get cast into two more things, then we'll be fine. Yeah. I don't know.
I know.
What I want to know is when any of my friends, if they do get Botox, when they get it, because I'm so curious how it's going.
I think some of my friends, I was going to say in LA, but they're not really LA people. They're actors and writers, but I don't think of them as LA people, but I just guess it's more in the conversation over there.
Have they moved, like people that have moved?
Yeah, but they moved kind of like pretty soon after we graduated college. So they've been there for like 8 years, 9 years.
Yeah, it's very common.
But I feel like they're 35 like me and kind of starting to get Botox. So I don't think
you should get it. I think your face looks great and it looks really young still. It really does.
Thanks for saying that. I mean, I honestly think your face looks great too. And I'm really jealous that you don't really have any bags or puffiness. It looks very taut to me.
Thank you. I don't know why that is. I think I was rubbing it today. I do. If I ever like lose weight, I start to get like lines here, which like, you know, when people like lose weight really quickly and they get like the lines things. So I kind of start to do that. But I don't know. I think also I have an Instagram filter. I mean, I have a Zoom filter. Let me see. I'll take my preferences off. Hold on. Don't touch it.
Oh my gosh. You take the preference off and everything.
Oh, see, here you go. This is how I look.
You look exactly the same. Nothing looks like it changed at all.
It did. I have all kinds of shit. But okay, Sarah, this was amazing. You're so
fun to talk
lovely.
About.
What a joy. Now, you are a comedian and writer and
that's right.
brilliant woman and great with children. Right. So if anybody wanted to see when you were performing next, do you put it up on your Instagram or Twitter? Like, where can people look for it?
I'm an Instagram stories queen. Great. I say that's my main. So at SG Welbs is my Instagram. If you ever want to see like what I'm cooking or what, when I'm performing, I'm doing a show on Sunday night at 9 p.m. Under St. Mark's.
Whoa.
Come and check it out. It's an improv comedy show. It is Easter.
It
so is. This is for my non This is for my Unitarians.
Wait, what show is it? Is it Monique's show?
It's a squirrel show.
Oh, no, I don't know.
That Julia Kelly's team hosts.
Oh, fun.
I forget what the team is called, actually. But it's supposed to be, like, they have improv teams, like, on as guests. Mm. But it's just going to be me and my husband and Lou Gonzalez.
I love
it. What more could you want?
Oh, you're so good. And so, Sarah, we will have to do another movie because this was just too fun.
It was too fun. And honestly, we should just tick through all those 1999s.
She's All That is a scam. 10 Things I Hate About You, kind of.
That is a scam. Yeah, because Heath Ledger has to, like, the greasy, like, good-looking guy pays him to try to...
Oh, that's a scam. And then...
That's a scam.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is another scam. Reporter scam.
Wait, that... I would love to rewatch that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
A really long time.
Yeah, that gave me lots of body issues, but it's beautiful. Kate Hudson in that.
I mean, because yes. Kate Hudson is, like, so skinny.
So skinny in it. And, like, she wears this dress that's clearly been photoshopped. And I'm just like, where's her body?
Again. The yellow one?
Yes.
Iconic.
The 90s were tough for us, but yeah, iconic.
There's also a scene where they, like, hook up in the bathroom after they've, like, been on a motorcycle for a long time.
Whoa.
Do you remember this?
I don't. I remember her, like, weird cresseted
That's
dog.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And then I remember, like, she played poker, and I was like, what a cool girl. She plays poker with people smoking cigarettes. That was cool.
Yeah, she's really cool and really skinny. Yeah. So that was not a good Venn diagram for me.
So that, I don't want to revisit, but I will. I'll do it for the pod. I'll do it anyway. Yeah, but let's just keep finding more. And it's so fun. And I love you. And thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me. You're the best.
You're the best.
ScamWow Podcast Season 2 is produced and edited by me, Caitlin Brodnick, produced and edited by Caitlin Moldenhauer, and edited by Jesse Caron. We are part of the More Banana Podcast Network, which is an all-female owned and run network for women's voices uninterrupted. If you love us, the best thing you can do is rate and review wherever you listen to your podcast. It will help us tremendously. Thank you guys so much for listening, all of your support. We're so happy to have you here, and we will see you next week. Bye!
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.